Titus 2.
But speak thou the things which become sound doctrine, that the aged men be sober, grave, temperate, sound in faith, in charity, in patience. The aged women likewise, that they be in behavior as becometh holiness, not false accusers, not given to much wine, teachers of good things, that they may teach the young women to be sober, to love their husbands, to love their children, to be discreet, chaste, keepers at home, good, obedient to their own husbands, that the word of God be not blasphemed. Young men likewise exhort to be sober-minded. In all things showing thyself a pattern of good works, in doctrine showing uncorruptness, gravity, sincerity, sound speech that cannot be condemned, that he that is of the contrary part may be ashamed, having no evil thing to say of you. Exhort servants to be obedient unto their own masters, and to please them well in all things, not answering again, not purloining, but showing all good fidelity, that they may adorn the doctrine of God our Savior in all things. For the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men, teaching us that, denying ungodliness and worldly lusts, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world, looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us that he might redeem us from all iniquity, and purify unto himself a peculiar people, zealous of good works. These things speak and exhort and rebuke with all authority. Let no man despise thee.
Praise the Lord, praise the Lord. This is Deacon Thomas Farr, and you are listening to Issues Christian Men's Talk. I'd like to welcome you to our broadcast today and pray that something will be said today that will encourage you. Also, that we are live every Saturday morning at 9 a.m. We invite you to join us as we part of the discussions. You can call in at 646-668-2636 Saturday mornings at 9 a.m. Also, we have a lot of things going on, a lot of events coming up, a lot of men's events coming up that we're going to share with you. But first, let me check in with my brother. Praise the Lord, brother. Can you hear me?
Praise the Lord, Digger. How are you, sir?
I'm good. I'm good. How are you, sir?
I'm doing well. Thank you.
All right. I just want to make sure you can hear me and we are out there we're broadcasting live. Amen. 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 So we're going to open up today with prayer, and we're going to be talking a little bit about how do we know that we are growing in our faith. I think that's an important thing as men of God that we examine ourselves and understand what it takes to grow in faith, you know, because this sort of came about because I was talking about it came up in a men's group discussion, and we were talking about how, you know, people being saved and how some folk in the faith or in the pews or the I call it the rank and file Christians seem like they're not growing, that they can be easily deceived, they can be easily influenced by non-biblical teachings and traditions, and it seems like, you know, a lot of folk, they're not growing. They're not pursuing a grow in their faith and growth in their knowledge and understanding of Christ. And that basically it begins with the study of his word. But we're going to talk about that a little bit tonight, and we're going to touch on a couple of scriptures because, as always, we're going to give a biblical foundation and a base. Because God has Jesus and God the Father, they have an expectation of our growth. There's an expectation that the Holy Spirit along within us that we will grow. Because, again, we have to remember the purpose of the church is one of the great commissions given by Christ to the body of Christ was to go and make disciples of all nations. And we can't, and that's not for pastors and elders and leadership. That's for every believer, born again, Holy Spirit-filled believer, to disciple. Amen? But let us pray. Father God, I say thank you right now, God. I thank you for everything that you've done and everything that you're doing, oh God, in the lives of your people. God, I thank you today for my life, for my salvation. I thank you for my wife and children. I thank you for my brother and his family, oh God, as we come together and discuss these things of faith and growth today, oh God. And with God, we pray that you continue to watch over and bless us, God. Give us wisdom. Give us discernment. Strengthen us, oh God. Guide our thoughts. Guide our words, oh God. And God, that our words would fall on good ground, God. And we would encourage the brothers, as husbands, fathers, and sons, that they might grow into the place and purpose and plan that you have for their life, God. That they would grow to be leaders in the home, and the family, its home, and church, and the community, oh God, and fulfill the purpose that you created them for. We ask your continued blessing, oh God, in Jesus' name, amen and amen. Amen. Well, Pastor Larry Watkins, again, I thank you for joining me tonight and being part of this conversation. A couple of things, man, before we start. April the 22nd, Jesus Lives Ministry at 302 Crane Highway. We're having a men's gathering there at 10:30 a.m. I encourage you to come out and join us. We're asking for a $10 donation for that fellowship, a time of gathering with the men coming together. Also, Grace Community Church in Fulton, Maryland, has a Monday night men's Bible study. We have a couple of groups who come together and meditate on the Word, and meditate and study the Word. And we have a couple of groups that are reading, a couple of books they're reading, and they're just having book discussions. But again, if you text me, I'll send you the address and the contact information for that coming up. And also, brother, I want every brother that's listening to the sound of my voice, mark your calendar. May the 13th, we're having a men's barbecue out there at Grace Community Church in Fulton, Maryland. As soon as I have the details, I'll let you know. You can give me a call. I can give you the address and specific location. But the date has been set. They're having a men's fellowship and barbecue on May the 13th. May the 13th. Amen? Amen. So things are happening. Churches are moving. Men's ministries are growing. There's other men's ministry I wanted to mention. Church of Redeemer of the Lord, they meet on every first Saturday of the month. Every first Saturday of the month they meet. Church of Redeemer of the Lord is at 4700 York Road in Baltimore, Maryland. So, again, if you reach out to me there, I can give you the information, details of that, because they're every first Saturday of the month. And, again, Grace Community Church is on Monday nights. There's a lot of things going on. A lot of ministries are having a lot of things. Also, I encourage you, go to my Facebook page. At Issues Christian Men's Talk on the Facebook page, we have a couple of some other men's conferences and workshops that are being put together, and I put the links out there. So if you feel like you want to go someplace and fellowship with the brethren in the body of Christ, you can follow the links, read the flyers, get the addresses, and come on by. I encourage you. Amen? Amen. So Pastor Watkins, brother, I'm going to start with you. I'll personally give a scripture, and then I'm going to come to you. Because what we're talking about tonight is how do we know that we're growing in our faith? And I want to begin with, because I'm going to look at what the Word of God says. Second Peter, chapter 3, at verse number 18. And it says, but grow in the grace and the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. To him be the glory, be glory both now and forever. Amen. And he's saying for us to grow. And that's being in a continual increasing in faith and in the knowledge of him. Because first of all, I believe that if we grew in the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ, we would not be deceived or be led astray by false teachers and people telling us stuff. And we'd be able to, I'll put it this way, we'd be able to discern between traditions of men and biblical truth or biblical orthodoxy. This is what this Bible says, and then this is what tradition of men does. In trying to, mostly a lot of religion is a tradition of men trying to live life, trying to please God more than just faith in Jesus Christ. What do you say, sir? Pastor Watkins, can you hear me?
Yes, I can hear you. I'm sorry.
There we are. Amen. You, I was concerned. I thought I had some technical difficulties. I lost the internet. I had to check to see if I paid my bill. All right, here you go, brother.
Man. Everything is good, man. Everything is good. With anything that grows, there has to be some evidence of the progress of growth. Of course, we know growth is the development of a thing to its fullest manner or its fullest potential. So for us to be able to judge whether we're growing or not, we have to understand what our fullest potential is. And for the Christian, that fullest potential is to be conformed, as Romans 8:29 says, to the image and likeness of Christ. So as we grow, the more Christ-like we become, the more we can judge our growth. Now, how do we look at that? Well, we have to first start by understanding where we were, seeing where we are, and then understanding where we're going. Now, you can't sit and look at television and expect to become a Rhodes Scholar. Okay, there has to be some work put into the process to reading books or to whatever you want to do or whatever topic that you're looking at to make that progress. So this doesn't come, things don't come by osmosis. There has to be some work put into this. So you can't just say I got saved and leave it at that, or I've been, I confessed, I believe, and I was baptized, I'm good. I don't need to do anything else, and expect to grow as a Christian. Either you grow or you digress. There is no staying where you are. So if we are to grow as Christians, we have to grow also, as you read in the scripture, in the knowledge of who God is. And the only way to do that is by reading our Bible and studying and spending that quiet time with God to understand what's going on. And as you'll see in that process, the more you study to understand who God is, you begin to understand who you are. And in understanding who you are, you begin to see your issues, your faults, your flaws, your areas where you come up short. And in the process of progressing or growing, we begin to see those things that we need to change in our life. And as we begin to change those things in our life, that progression begins to be seen by others, be seen by ourselves, and also we can now begin to measure that progression by seeing the way we've changed. But we have to realize that some work and some change has to be put in here. We can't just do it by osmosis, but we have to start by reading God's word and learning more about him. What do you think, Dee?
Amen. I mean, that's, brother, you know, let me say it like this. I think the topic we're talking about is not a new topic, but I think I want to stir the brothers up and think about where you are today. You know, we all were saved, we all delivered from certain things. We have testimonies of who we used to be and the things we used to do, which that's a level of growth also. But I would say it like this. Our testimony of our change and our conversion should be more than when we first got saved, because, you know, the sins of drinking, smoking, cussing, womanizing, lying, cheating, stealing, okay, you were delivered from that. But if that was 25 years ago, and where are you now? Have you taken the milk of your salvation, that milk, that gospel that you first heard, that conversion of the Holy Spirit, and then where have you grown since that, since your conversion, since you believed God, since you came to faith in Christ, since you start to believe in the Holy Spirit became indwelling in you? Have you grown in the knowledge of what God is? Have you gone into a deeper study? There's a lot of ways that thing will manifest itself. And like you said, we measure our fruit. To grow, you need to show productivity, an increase in knowledge of things of God. You've moved past the basics of the faith, where now you're studying scripture. And in the Bible talks about, I believe it's in 1 Corinthians, and it talks about that Paul tells them that now you should be teachers, but you're still eating milk. What is it? First Corinthians chapter 3. He talks about the Corinthians, how when he was there and spread the gospel and taught them for 2 years, and now he's hearing they haven't moved past those things they were taught with pastors, being in the church, and they still on the elementary thing, on the milk, and haven't moved to the meat, to the deeper understanding of God. And let me say this, brothers. You know, in the 21st century, the scripture still applies, because even now we are blessed that we have, what do we call it? We can stand on the shoulders of great theologians and men who studied the word. We have access to study Bibles. We have access to more of the text, of the, all the reference materials, Bible dictionaries, commentaries. So it's not so much that what are you doing to grow? Because, you know, even like I said this before, I said this in the previous show, even when your pastor is preaching or teaching on Sundays, are you going to do deep dives into the word that you're given every week? And are you, and the biggest thing I think we can measure our spiritual growth, are we activating and applying it? Are we just sitting there in the pew, on the chair, at the table, and we're just listening to sermons, we're amening, we're doing praise and worship, and we're not putting it in, we're not applying it to our life? And I think that's the big step of true maturity and growth, is when we start to let the word of God apply. And that's what I think what you were saying too, when we're talking about that we're growing in Christ. Our progress is coming more and more like Jesus Christ. And our thinking, how we see the world, how we live in our lives, how we treat one another, how we show love, all of these conversion and manifestations to what it means to be a Christian, what are you looking like? Are you looking like Christ? Are you doing the same things? Or are you stuck stagnant? That's what I'm saying, stagnant faith. But again, we can only measure ourselves, because unless you honestly have or surrounding yourself with people who are going to tell you that, you know, you could do more, you could be doing more. What are you doing? Who's holding you accountable? See, some of that is maturity too. Are you in a place with spiritual brothers and sisters around you who hold you accountable, who are encouraging or supporting your faith and growth, not just, you know, all of your pipe dreams, but spiritually, who is spiritually holding you accountable? And do you want anybody? Or are you allowing anybody? And are you now, as a mature Christian, because that's the other thing too, we have babes because we have other people who are not nurturing and feeding and encouraging the babes along the way. You know, I like the metaphor we always say, you know, it's okay when our 1-year-old and 2-year-old children, grandchildren, they learn how to walk, they stumble, they fall, they get back up. But at some point, when the 9 and 10 and 6 and 8-year-old can't stand up straight and walk and feed themselves, there's a problem. And now we have to go to the doctor and figure out what's going on. The baby's not gaining weight. The baby's not reaching these milestones. So in the spiritual realm, we need to examine ourselves and those around us who we call brothers and sisters in Christ. And are we spiritually malnourished? Are we spiritually missing developmental milestones? What do you say about that, brother?
Well, I wanted to go back and comment. One of the things you said is that, you know, your brothers come in and they say, you know, I'm not drinking anymore. I'm not smoking anymore. I'm not doing this. I'm not doing that. Those really weren't issues for you when you began, whether you were on drugs or whether you were drinking or whatever it was. Some of those things may have been symptoms of a bigger problem. And because they were symptoms of a bigger problem, they were easy for you to let go. They were easy for you to stop. I didn't like smoking.
Amen.
I didn't like smoking anyway. So stopping smoking wasn't a problem. You don't like the taste of alcohol, so stopping drinking wasn't really the problem. You know, there were bigger issues. But the thing of it is, we want to say that we stopped doing this, we stopped doing that, we stopped doing this. And we want to be applauded for those things that we stopped doing. But what are you still doing that needs to be stopped is the question that we need to be answering, or the thing that we need to be looking at. Like you said, when we look at this thing, we look at starting out on the milk of the word and then growing to the meat of the word. Are you progressing in that manner? Are you walking in the Spirit, meaning are you listening to what the Spirit is telling you? Are you listening to the things that God is saying to you and walking those things out? Are you taking his chastisement, his correction, his pruning as he cuts you back so that you can grow even further and becoming that person that is more like Christ? Now, in doing so, Then we start talking about being held accountable. Then we start talking about the teaching. And as you said, right now, there's nothing that is stopping you from reading your Bible or studying this Bible, because it's in different versions. It's in electronic form. You can play it at night and listen to it all night long. You can play it in your car. You can play it while you're working. You can do all of these things. There are more things now that you have to bombard your senses with the Word of God and then be able to understand it. You have different versions. You have different translations. You got you can study Greek and Hebrew on your computer. You know, these are things that we can do now. So it's not that we don't have the tools to be able to do it, but are we availing ourselves of those tools? You know, many times we say, well, I wasn't taught that, or that's not what we've been taught. Well, are you verifying things for yourself? Part of spiritual growth is not just taking things at face value. It's a matter of saying, okay, this is what I heard. Now let me go look at this for myself to see if this is what the Bible is actually saying, if this is what is actually being taught, and if this is the truth. And then verifying it so it can be written on your heart. As David said, your word hath I hidden in my heart that I might not sin against thee. Then once we do that verification and that study, then we can hide that word in our heart. We can meditate it, as Psalms 1 says, both day and night, and become like that tree that's planted by the rivers of waters, meaning that we grow to a point that we're being fed constantly by the river, and that we're being growing to the point where we have structure and strength. All of this is part of the growth process. But we have to be submissive to that process, meaning that we have to be willing to participate in it and not let it happen by osmosis or by happenstance or because somebody else is pulling us along. You can only go so far by riding on somebody's skirt tails. That's why I tell brothers all the time, don't come to church because of a woman, because if you ever mess up with that woman, you won't come to church no more. Come to church because this is feeding a need for you, and it's meeting an area of need in your life, because then you'll do it for yourself and not for somebody else. You can't run on somebody else's fuel. You got to run on your own. So when we start to grow and do this thing, we got to run on our own fuel and submit ourselves to this process, so that we can grow and become who we need to be. What do you think, Dave?
Amen, sir. I mean, you're saying a lot there, and you're right, Because, again, you know, that's the thing. You know, even when we come to church or come to Christ, someone's going to lead us. Someone's going to evangelize. Someone's going to share the gospel. Someone's going to pray. Someone's going to give us the word and get us started. And, I mean, that's part of the process. I know what you said about that woman. You stop seeing her, you ain't going back to church anymore because you're just following behind her. But you know, some brothers start out that way. I'm not gonna begrudge that. However, when you stand before God, God is not gonna look at that girl that even I don't care even if you married her. He's not gonna look at that. He's gonna look at what did you do with the faith that you was given, that the faith that you say you built on, and how did you build upon your faith. How did you grow once you got there? And you're right. All those things I mentioned in the beginning, those were symptoms of sin. So those things, you know, those things we're going to drop off or be purged off of you anyway. That's the work of the Holy Spirit. That's the work. That's the supernatural transformation. Because remember, our salvation from sinner to the enemy of God to a saint to a child of God. That's a supernatural transformation of a soul. We can't forget that. I think we take that for granted. We minimize that. We look for all kinds of other miracles. But for a sinner that's destined for hell, that's destined to be submitted to the wrath of a holy and righteous and just God, through faith in the shed blood of Jesus Christ, now becomes a child of God that he has favored and he loves. And now he's going to use you he wants to grow you and use you to fulfill his work on the earth, to be the church, to be his representative, to be salt and light. And you can't do those things if you're not growing. If you're not growing and into the place where God can use you, the same one someone was used to reach you with the truth and to grow you and mentor you, or take time to sow seed and you take time to pray for you, where are you at in that area? Are you growing? And when we say spiritually, part of it begins with, we know we're talking about the study of the Word of God, but it also is about your prayer life. Are you still praying, God is great, God is good, thank you for this food, amen. Now I lay me down to sleep, I pray the Lord my soul to keep. If that's where you are, I mean, there's a lot of prayers we learned as kids, but do you know how to pray now? Do you know how to intercede for your family? Do you know how to intercede for your community, for your pastor, for the elders, your leaders? Are you praying what the Word of God says to pray? Are you praying in God's will? Are you understanding God's will? Because even when tragedy strikes, when things happen, because people are going to get sick, people are going to die, things are going to happen, but do you know to pray? Do you believe God is in sovereign control? But that's so much of where we should be going to as believers in Jesus Christ, that we are steadfast and rooted and grounded in his word. And ultimately, we know that God is sovereign and in control of all things. And that's how we truly want to handle life. Amen? So when we're talking about the spiritual world, I mean, it's a transformation. So, brother, I want to come to you real quick. I want to share some. I want to give you a couple of scriptures, and I want to come back to you. It says I'm going to read some notes here I have from an article I was reading, and it says when the transformation of salvation takes place, spiritual growth begins. The Holy Spirit indwells us, and we talk about John 14 verses 16-17. We are new creatures in Christ. We've all heard that. 2 Corinthians. Chapter 5, verse 17. The old sinful nature begins to give way to the new nature, the Christ-like nature. Romans chapter 6 and 7. That's a lot there. Whoosh. That right there, 6 and 7, you could preach on that thing for 6 months if you want to. Amen. But however, I'll say this. Spiritual growth is a lifelong process. Depends on our study and application of his word and our walk in the spirit. And the scripture I want to give the brothers out there to meditate on is 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 16 and 17. But that's what I'm saying. When we search out the scripture and what the scripture has, the expectation that God has on us, because it's in his word, that we ought to grow. Now, I'm going to say this, because I heard this a lot from a lot of leaders and teachers and men and people, that we all grow at different levels. I won't doubt that. We're all at different levels in our growth. We're at different levels of faith, different levels of understanding. But we shouldn't be at that same level for 25 years. I'm not even that. We shouldn't be at that same level in 2, 3, 5, or 10 years in the body of Christ. And then I'm going to put this out there, too, for my brothers, because, you know, a lot of people talk about the church, and the church is full of women, and there's always women and more women than men in the church. People say that in a blanket. I necessarily don't believe that. However, brothers, out of 52 weeks, if your ministry has a Bible study every week for 52 weeks, how many Bible studies have you been to? Because Sunday services are easy, you know, because, you know, you ain't got to go to work, and ain't nothing going on. Football game don't start till 1 o'clock. So Sundays, you know, Sundays is your reasonable service. Now, are you pressing the sacrifice? Now, you're in Bible studies. Are you in Bible studies? Are you being led and guided? Because, again, I think most of your learning and answers to your questions and understanding can come in an atmosphere of Bible study where you can ask the questions of the scripture, where the scripture can be, if need be, cut up into little bite-sized pieces that you might be nourished off of it. So out of 52 weeks, every man is listening to me right now. If you say you're part of a ministry, you're a member of a church, a member or part of a ministry, and after 52 weeks in a year, how many Bible studies do you make every year? What is it? Right now we're in April. So that'd be January, February, March. Let me see. There was how many? I think there was four weeks in March. So that's 3, 6, 9, 12. So there's been 12. This is April. April just started. So I'm going to go with 3, 6. Wait a minute. There's four, right? No. How many? Wait a minute. Okay.
Four.
16. All right. So 16. It's been 16 Bible studies. Thank you, brother. My arithmetic is a little slow. I'm kind of tired. But there's been 16 Bible studies since the beginning of the year. How many have you been to? That's a simple question. So let's go. Wait, let me do some more math here. So 52 and 16 minus, carry the thing over there. That's 6, and that's 3. And then we're going to take 2 away because it might be some holiday, Christmas Sunday, Christmas, New Year. So there's about 32, 35 more weeks of Bible study this year. How many of those are you going to go to on purpose? Because a man without a vision, and what does the Bible say about that? If you don't have a vision to make it to Bible study, to participate in the Bible study, be part of a place where you're being spiritually fed to grow, you won't grow. This time next year, you'll be in the same place, and that's not growth. Amen? So, again, Amen. Brothers, I'm not here to chastise. I'm not here to make you feel bad, but I am here to encourage you. That's what we do here at Issues Christian Men's Talk. I want to stir up something in you. I want to stir up the Holy Spirit in you to realize where you are. The scripture says to examine yourself. Examine yourself in what I just said. And what are you going to do different that you'll be able to grow, that you'll be able to be used by God, you'll be able to be used as a husband, as a father, to spiritually lead your wife and your children. And as a man of God in your local ministry, how can you now serve and be in that place? Amen? Pastor Watkins, what do you say, sir? I said a lot there, but I was like, you can bounce off anything I now said. Amen?
I agree with what you're saying. The process that we go through of cleaning up our lives, that process is called sanctification. That's where God cleans us up and makes us look more like Him. Now, in this process of sanctification, this process of cleaning us up, we should be able to see some evidence of that happening in our lives. And as that evidence happens in our lives, we should get excited about it. We should see that we are beginning to meet certain needs. Our lives are beginning to change for the better. And as they change for the better, there should be a hunger for that change to continue. And if there's a hunger for that change to continue, then we will put ourselves in position to be able to feed that hunger and to develop it to the point where we get to where we need to be. Any other hunger in our lives, we put our position in it and to take it. If we have a hunger for food, we go to a restaurant, we sit down and we eat until we get full. If we have a hunger for whatever, information, then we sit ourselves in a place where we can obtain that information and learn what we need to learn. If we're learning a trade, then we put ourselves in apprenticeships and whatever so that we can be put in a place to be taught so that we can grow into that thing that we need to be. The same thing needs to happen in Christianity. We need to be able to put ourselves in a place where we can be taught so that we can feed that hunger so that we can see our lives growing further and further. That's by going to Bible study. That's by praying. And you talked about praying. We need to be not just praying the Our Fathers and the Now I Lay Me Down to Sleep, because if you're in the midst of a crisis and you need money, Now I Lay Me Down to Sleep is not going to help you get your problem solved. You need to be able to articulate the information that you need to be able to answer your prayer, to pray the right information so that you're getting the answer that you need. All of this comes by growth. All of this comes by submitting ourselves to the place. Now, we get brothers that come into the church and they say, you know what, I'm high, I don't want to come to church. I'm drunk, I don't want to come to church. I just left the club, I don't want to come to church. Well, I tell them all the time, don't stop what you're doing. Keep coming to church until you stop what you're doing. What does that mean? If you keep coming to church, if you keep coming to the Bible studies, if you keep coming to the men's meetings, if you keep putting yourself in the right place at the right time, doing the right thing, eventually the Bible says that he will give you the desires of your heart. Now, most of us think that means that he's going to give you all of the things that you want, and everything is wonderful, pie in the sky, happiness. No, that's not what it means. It also means that he will begin to change your heart so that your desires change and that you can now begin to have new desires, new growth, new things, and he will begin to change you so that those old things begin to fall away. But it also means that we have to be able to submit ourselves to that process. And many of us don't want to be told anything, Dee. Many of us don't want to be told that we're doing wrong, or we don't want to be told that we're going in the wrong path, or we don't want to be told that we're not doing the right thing, because we're men, we're supposed to know, and we don't want to be look like we don't know. So we don't submit ourselves to that process because we're afraid of looking unintelligent, we're afraid of looking unexperienced, and we're afraid of looking weak and vulnerable. So we don't submit ourselves to that change. But if we're ever going to grow, we have to submit ourselves to it so that it can allow, so that we can grow in those things and begin to change our lives. What do you think, sir?
Amen, sir. And again, brothers, it has to begin somewhere. You have to want it. You have to. The brother said sanctification. We're all going through it. Let me say this about sanctification. From the brother who just got saved this last weekend, Palm Sunday, or last month, or even a pastor who's been preaching for 30 years or 40 years, it's all process of sanctification. Don't be deceived and think that because your pastor or the bishop or whatever, he's still in the process of sanctification. He just might have, God has got he's fulfilling part of the purpose God has given for his life. He put in that position. But don't forget, every man started somewhere with the gospel of Jesus Christ as a sinner, realizing they needed a Savior, that their life was, they were living lives that were disobedient to God, disobedient to the purposes God had for mankind. So you're drinking, womanizing, lying, cheating, stealing, all that lust and greed and covetousness and all that you were doing, that's because you were the enemy of God. That's because you were unredeemed. You were living out the sin because of Adam's failure. But now through the blood of Jesus Christ, God has made a way to reconcile you back to his and make you his child. And now all we're doing now, myself, Pastor Larry, any other brothers that I notice in my circle that are in the church that we are in fellowship with, they just see word of life different. They're living lives to please God, and they're living examples so that you might see, or someone might see them living different than the culture, than the world, and want to ask why. And then we are also called to evangelize. We're called to take the message of Jesus Christ, the good news, the gospel of Christ dying to redeem human beings back to the world. And like Pastor Larry was saying, you know, I never tell people, he's right. The church has done it some churches still do it. Some churches used to do it a lot, telling people this, that, and the other thing. You're sinning because you're sinning because you're a sinner. Now, the only way you're going to stop acting like a sinner is not to be a sinner. But as long as you're a sinner, you're going to be a sinner, and you're going to commit sin. Amen? But let me tell you another way to live. Live pleasing to God. And you stopping, because that's the other thing about salvation and being a Christian. It's not me getting me under control. It's me surrendering to what the Word of God says. And the only way I know that I'm living to please him is because I know his Word. And every word that I read, every word as I come into the knowledge, the sanctification we talked about earlier, now I'm applying it to my life. I'm not doing this anymore because it's displeasing to God. I believe it was Joseph and David said, I have not sinned against man. I've sinned against you, O Lord. Oh Lord. Joseph said the same thing. David said the same thing. Their sins were not about what they did to the people, but it was what they were, God, that they knew, that they believed, that they loved, and they wanted to live a life that pleases Him. That's what we're called to do. But His word will tell us how we live to please Him. Because the word says, without holiness, we cannot please Him. And what is holiness? It's not being perfect, but it's being obedient and being separate from the sinful culture in the world. But that's what the process is all about. But you have to be in a place where you're seeking and you're pursuing to live righteous. God's going to make you righteous once you come to faith, but now to start to live that thing out is the process. And it doesn't matter where you start, and it doesn't matter how long you've been in the process. Because until we leave this earth, leave these physical bodies, that's when we'll know. That's when we'll see Christ. We'll see the reward. We'll stand before Jesus Christ, and He'll say, "Well done, my good and faithful servant." Because we were obedient, because we loved Him, because of what we did, we believed and we trusted. And we had faith in what Christ has done for, that He died for us, and that He paid the price for our sin that pleased God. Because that's what the whole this Easter's coming up is all about. The resurrection was proof that Jesus Christ's human bodily sacrifice was acceptable to God because he resurrected Him from the dead. Just like He's going to resurrect all of us from the dead if we're not here when He comes back and we're not caught up in the rapture. Amen? So, brothers, I just want to encourage you to seek to grow in the faith, to seek to do those things that are pleasing to God. And the only way you're going to find that out is through His word, through submission to the Holy Spirit, to teaching, learning of Him, growing in grace and the knowledge of Him. Amen? Amen. I'm going to give a quick commercial break right here where we at. I'm going to come back to you, Elder, in one moment. But I do want to share Grace Community Church, Grace Men. They have finalized and scheduled their men's summer breakfast series. They're going to have three men's breakfasts this year in the summer. They're going to start there on June the 3rd, July the 8th, and August the 5th. They're going to start at 9 a.m., and they're asking for $10 donations per person. And children, young brothers under 10 years old will eat free because they don't eat that much. We can feed them. However, though, it's going to be Grace Men, the Grace Community Church Summer Breakfast Series. On June the 3rd, we're going to be talking about fellowship, friendships. On July the 8th, we're going to be talking about masculinity. And August the 5th, we're going to be talking about authenticity. So, again, I encourage you to join. Reach out to me. Text me. I can get you the address. They're located off of 216 and off of I-95 and 216 in Fulton, Maryland. But if you reach out to me, I can get you the address and let you know. So I just wanted to put that commercial break in there. Amen. Pastor, I'm going to come to you real quick, but I want to share a scripture real quick with the brothers again because I want to give a foundation for you to meditate on. We're going to go to 2 Peter chapter 1, and I'm going to read 5 through 7. Matter of fact, I'm going to go all the way to 10. So 2 Peter chapter 1, starting at verse number 5. And it says, "But also, for this very reason, giving all diligence, add to your faith a virtue, to virtue knowledge, to knowledge self-control, to self-control perseverance, to perseverance godliness, to godliness brotherly kindness, to brotherly kindness love. For if these things are yours and abound, you will be neither barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of your Lord Jesus Christ." Verse number 9. "But he who lacks these things is short-sighted, even to blindness, and has forgotten that he was cleansed from his old sins." Verse 10, "Therefore, brethren, be even more diligent to make your call and election sure. For if you do these things, you will never stumble." You will never stumble. Amen? So, brothers, again, this is Peter. And the thing about Peter is, you know, he was writing these letters to folk in the midst of Roman Empire persecution. He was encouraging the church, but yet he was writing a letter to encourage them in their growth in their faith as the church was being persecuted. Because remember, we all heard about Nero in Rome, and he burnt Rome. He burnt Rome because he set Christians on fire and hung them up on light poles and lighted up the street lights. Okay, that's some history lesson. However, that brother used Christians to light the streets at night and set. And we talk about Nero burning Rome down. But this is the persecution that the body of Christ was going through in this time. But yet Peter was writing to encourage them to grow in their faith. Brother Pastor Watkins, what do you say, sir?
I was looking at the scripture that you read in 1 Peter. And I want you to see the progression in this, that growth is measured in the things that you can obtain through the study of God and through the study of Christ here. It says, first of all, that you get knowledge. And as you get knowledge, as you obtain that knowledge now leads you to be able to be self-controlled, because now that I know what to do and what not to do. And because I know what to do and what not to do, I now have some self-control. And as I gain my self-control, I now gain some perseverance, because it means now that I know what I'm doing. I know what needs to be done now. I know what I'm doing. I'm controlling myself. And now I have some perseverance, because things just can't knock me off course anymore, because I have the knowledge and I have self-control. All of this is a process of growth that the reader is talking about. And he says, once you obtain all these things, he says, you will be able to abound, which means you'll be able to grow and to prosper. And he said, you'll be neither barren nor unfruitful. You'll bear fruit that people will begin to see and begin to know you as a person of faith and of Christianity. And you will grow in the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. All of this is just the fact that we are going through the process of growth, and we're allowing the process to work for us and in us. Many of us, we go to church and we get caught up in the religiousness of church, in the pomp and the circumstances, and we don't really get the meat of what's going on because we don't dive deeper into the process. We don't gain the knowledge. We stop gaining the knowledge. And once we stop the process, we stop our growth. Because you can't have any self-control if you don't complete getting the knowledge. So we have to submit ourselves to the process, as I've been saying all along. We have to be willing to go after that hunger and thirst. And Jesus died, as you said, Deacon, Jesus died on the cross so that we would have the opportunity to obtain these things without having to go through the hindrances that stopped many of us before, without having to deal with all of the sin, because now we have forgiveness for sin. And the things that Jesus went through on the cross, through the shedding of his blood, through being pierced in his side, to taking the vinegar in his mouth. And one of the things that got me about taking the vinegar in his mouth, it was because he said, "I thirst," and that vinegar was there to be able to calm that thirst so that we won't have to thirst anymore after his word, because his word is now readily available to us. So he says, if we have that desire, that hunger, that thirst after him, that thirst can be solved by just following him and learning and growing. So all we have to do is submit ourselves to the process and stay in the process. You know, an ear of corn can't pluck itself up and say, "I'm fully grown now." You know, A potato can't say, okay, I'm coming out of dirt. I'm fully grown now. It has to go through the process and then be harvested. We can't be the pottery that's on the wheel and decide when we're done and jump off the wheel, because we create ourselves. We have to submit ourselves to the process so that process can continue to work in our lives and we can become what we need to become. What do you say, Dick?
Amen. Amen, brothers. And in saying that, brothers, we hear myself and Pastor Larry Watkins, we come here to encourage us because we need men of God. We say we're soldiers. We say a lot of scripture. We say we're men of God, soldiers of God. There's so much that the Bible says on where we ought to be as believers and especially as men. The Bible tells us to be strong. The Bible tells us to stand. The Bible tells us to resist the devil and he will flee. This is who we ought to be. This is why we ought to start. We have to be the application of the word. Jesus said, don't just be hearers of the word, but be doers of the word. And this is when we're talking about spiritual growth. And brothers, I encourage you, check yourself, check your oil. You know, where are you? Where do you want to be in God? Where are you seeking the God? And one thing I want to before we're going to wrap up, because I want to spend, matter of fact, we're not going to wrap up because I want to spend some time on it. Because there's a misconception in the body of Christ that spiritual growth equals you being ordained a deacon, an elder, a minister, a pastor. That's not what we're talking about. When you say spiritual growth, those things should not come to your mind. That because you grow spiritually, that you are going to be ordained or God is calling you to serve in leadership, because that's different. I say that because we look at what the Bible says about those he's called to lead, to shepherd the flock, to minister to people. What did Paul write to Timothy and Titus? How were the first deacons chosen in the book of Acts? These were men who weren't trained to meet those qualifications. Those qualifications were seen in them already. And that's what qualified them for the positions. I want to be clear when I say that, when we talk about spiritual growth. I mean, well, I'm going to get myself together and I'm going to study so I can be ordained a deacon. I can be an elder, a minister, get licensed. I'm going to be a pastor. I want to start a church. I'll leave that to you and your God. But again, the Bible says they sought among them men who met these qualifications. That's why I recently, in the last couple of years, I realized, you know, a lot of ministries do deacons in training. If a man is living as obedient lives, if a man is living obedient to the word of God, that's his qualification to serve the body of Christ. If he's not living it, and you got to take special time out to teach him how to live out the word of God, and he's not growing spiritually, he's not growing in the knowledge and grace and the knowledge of God just from where he is. And also, we talk about, you know, being in leadership, is he serving without the title? All right, and Pastor, you still there with me? Because sometimes I need backup. Because I always got to have somebody ride over.
I'm still with you.
All right, so we all have to figure that. Look at what I'm saying, and I say, and again, I always say, search the scripture. Search the scripture. What does the scripture say? The scripture doesn't say train a man to do this way. The scripture tells us to train up a child, but that's a principle. That's not a promise, but. When it was time to choose men to serve, these men were living that life, so they were spiritually mature from where they were. So I want to put that piece out there. What do you say, sir? I just want to put that piece out there for you to for brothers to meditate on. It's not about, you know, growing so I could be something. I want to be something, and then God may use me and give me a greater responsibility. And then ordain me before men. Because men ordain, God chooses who he's going to use. And any man who is faithful to the things of God in serving in ministry or serving God, he's not seeking a title. Yeah. Amen. What do you say, sir?
Everybody was not meant to be, everybody is not meant to be a pastor. Everybody is not meant to be a minister. Everybody's not meant to be a preacher. Everybody's not meant to be an evangelist or a deacon. If everybody was meant to be a pastor, there would be no people to preach to, because all of us would be pastors sitting in a pulpit. If everybody was meant to be deacons, there would be nobody to serve, because everybody would be in a place of service. So everybody's not meant to be in those positions. Now, just because you go to a certain point, you will begin to see what your purpose is. And in growing and understanding and growing in the knowledge of Christ, you will begin to see what your purpose is, and you'll begin to see which role that you play in the body of Christ. In doing so, you'll find your niche area. Now, the Bible says that we are all members of the body, and the body is not consisted of about, 10 thumbs. It has four fingers. It has index fingers. It has pinkies. It has all these other things. And not everybody is called to be a thumb. Maybe you're called to be an index finger and point out the way. Or maybe you're called to be a ring finger. Whatever your purpose is, don't aspire to be something. Let God call you to it because of the character that you have, or because of the fire that God places in you to be a certain thing. Because once we aspire to be something, if we were born an index finger and you aspire to be a thumb, it's now because you're envious of the role of the thumb. And we now need to look at our motivation to see why it's more important for us to be a thumb than what we are as an index finger, meaning that we all have a role to play in the body of Christ. And God has set us up so that there are different things that we need to do. The Bible says one plants, one waters, but God gives the increase, meaning that one person has the job of planting the seed. There's another person that comes along and waters that seed. There's another person that comes along and digs up the weeds around that seed so that it can grow fully. But each one of them has a role to play in that seed coming to fruition and being the plant that it is. We need to remember that we need to figure out what our role is, what our purpose is, and play that role. And look at our motives, look at our reasonings for wanting to be something that is not always what we are called to. Being a minister, being a preacher, is we see all the times, we see the preacher, he's like, I want to be like him, but you don't know what he went through to be who he is. You don't know the challenges and the hardships and the things that he's faced to be who he is, because all of that was the molding process of making him who he was in his spiritual growth. Your molding process is not going to be the same thing. So we have to understand that we need to find our own role. The Bible says to work out your own soul salvation, not so that you can go out and tell somebody else, but so that you can live the way that you need to live. So that the Bible says that so that you can rightly divide the word of truth, so that you can know for yourself. And then once you know for yourself, then you can decide, or then you can realize what your role is going to be to the people. But you got to do it for yourself first and find out who you are and find out what your fire is. And once you find out what your fire is, then you can be motivated and grow into that thing so that you become the musician and not the preacher, or you become the usher and not the preacher, or you become the trustee and not the deacon because you deal better with the money and not with the spiritual. All of these are roles that everybody has to play. So we have to be able to play our role and be what God has called us to be. What do you think, sir?
Amen, sir. Amen. Brothers, I just pray that you listen to something that was said tonight on Issue Scripture Men's Talk, that to encourage you, to get you to a place where now you want you moving forward. There's so much to be said about spiritual growth, but it starts with each one of us, and it starts from to whenever you listen to this, to the next, when the rising of the sun, which direction are you going? Are you moving in sanctification? Are you growing in Christ's likeness? Are you growing in obedience and application of the word? And we have to all judge ourselves. And also, let me say one more thing. When we talked about, you know, titles and positions and all that, we never, 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 never compare ourselves to each other. Because remember, some more thing I could say about spiritual growth is God has a plan for each of us, and our paths and our journeys are different. So we can never compare ourselves one to another. We compare ourselves to the word of God. Don't compare yourself to the pastor, to the deacon, to the elder, whoever, you know, even those who are in a position of leadership who are mentoring you and teaching you. You don't compare your walk with their walk, because the word of God is the same for all of us, but our life circumstances and challenges are different. Because the sin, again, we learn this from our sins. Because one sin, some of the things we've been through could have killed another man. But by the grace of God, we're still here. One of the things, some of the challenges we've been through emotionally could have sent someone to a mental institution and broke their spirit. But we're here with a sound mind by the grace of God, because we persevered and endured through that thing. Even when we wasn't saved. But now we have a testimony, because remember, a testimony is after the fact, not in the midst of it. Amen? So, gentlemen, I want to continue to encourage you in your Christian walk, in who you are. And I want to share one more thing, and I'm going to come back to you, Pastor Larry Watkins, for the closing remarks and the closing out in prayer, if you would, sir. Amen. Gentlemen, as we seek spiritual growth, we should pray to God and ask for wisdom concerning the areas he desires us to grow in. We can ask God to increase our faith and knowledge of him. God desires for us to grow spiritually, and he has given us all we need to experience spiritual growth. With the Holy Spirit's help, we can overcome sin and steadily become more like our Savior, Jesus Christ. Brothers, I just encourage you to grow in your faith, grow in Christ's likeness, grow in the knowledge and understanding of the word, that you may be used by God, because you want to hear, "Well done, my good and faithful servant," and you do not want to hear, "Depart from me, I never knew you." Amen. Pastor Watkins, sir, I appreciate you, brother, taking time out and coming on the program with me and sharing your wisdom and insights with the brothers. And as always, brother, I love you, and God bless you. You'll close us out with your closing comments and a prayer.
Sure. Thank you, Deacon Farr, man. I appreciate you so much. I love you as well, and I thank you for the opportunity to come on here and allow me to talk and to share. I don't take it lightly. I don't take the job that God has given me and trusted me with the word, with his word, so I appreciate the opportunity. If there's ever a brother that wants to reach out and have some they want to talk about, or they need some help, or they just have a question, you can always reach me at Pastor Larry Watkins, WATKINS@gmail.com, and I will get back to you, and we can come together and reason together and work this thing out. Again, that's Pastor Larry Watkins at gmail.com. One of the things that, Deacon, that used to always be a pet peeve for me when I was in the midst of growing and becoming who God has me to be, which means I'm not there yet, I'm still in that process, was people always saying that you should be further along than this, you should be better than this, or you should be this, that, and the other. And I want to take some pressure off of some brothers right now. I want to take some weight off of your shoulders and tell you that for everything that you've been through in your life, for all the ups and the downs, for all the challenges that you have, you are right where you're supposed to be. Don't look at anybody else. Don't look at where Pastor, where Deacon is, or where
Pastor Larry is or whoever it is, for everything that you've gone through in your life, you are right where you're supposed to be. Now, the thing of it is that we not stay there, that we get ourselves into a place where we're learning God's word, where we're hearing God's voice, and that we're praying to God the right things so that we can grow and become better than where we are. If you're sitting in a place right now and you're telling yourselves, I should be further along, that's fine. That means you now have a hunger and you realize that there's some more growing for you to do. If that's the case, get yourself into a place where you can be fed, where you can be held accountable, where somebody is teaching you, and then not only teaching you, but where you can study for yourselves so that you can learn and be able to rightly divide the word of truth. If you're saying that to yourself, it means that there is a hunger there and that you realize that there's some more growth that needs to be done. Submit yourself to that process. Allow yourself to be taught and grow. And then as you grow, you'll see your life change. You'll see God. And as you see God, you'll see yourself. And as you see yourself, you begin to make those changes that are necessary in your life so that you can become more like the image of Christ that we're supposed to be. That's my encouraging word for you. You're right where you're supposed to be, but don't stay there. Let's grow together. Father, let us pray. Father, right now, in the name of Jesus, we love you and adore you. We appreciate you for all that you do for us. We thank you, Lord God, because you allowed your son to die on the cross, Lord God, so that we might obtain salvation. And thereby obtaining salvation, we start the process of spiritual growth in our lives. Father, we thank you for all the men that have heard this, that will hear this, and that will also see this, Father, and say, let them know, Lord God, that you are with them, that you are supporting them, and that you are there to help them move through this process. As we submit our lives to the process of sanctification, the cleaning up, the removing of the sinful ways, Father, we ask that you would be there right beside us to help us, to guide us, to correct us, to chastise us, to prune us, to cut us back when we need to be cut back. Father, help us so that we can become that which you have assigned us and appointed us to be. We thank you now. We give you all the glory and the praise. We pray now for Dean Farr, for all that he does and all that he's doing. We pray, Lord God, that for all he has given, we ask that you would pour back into him twofold, Lord God, threefold, so that he can be replenished. We thank you now. We give you glory, honor, and we praise your wonderful name. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen, brother. God bless you. Thank you.
God bless you.
Based on your word.
Yes, it
based
is.
On your covenant with your people. We humble ourselves and pray and seek your face. Turn from our wicked ways. You will forgive our sins.
I'm waiting on you right now, Lord.
You'll heal our land.
Oh,
it stands on your covenant.
Hallelujah.